Hi everyone here, this is Nate here at Election Hawk with another post-election day podcast. I'm going to be going over today, yes, the title of this podcast, the recent Supreme Court order from Justice Samuel Alito, and we're going to be going over updates out of Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, but I'm going to mostly be focusing on Arizona, because there's not too much to talk about regarding Georgia. North Carolina looks like it's going Trump, and Pennsylvania is very disputed right now. It's virtually as disputed as Wisconsin and Michigan. So stay tuned. So first, we're going to be going over the recent Supreme Court ruling. I got this in within a few minutes of it being ordered at 8 p.m. on November 6th. From the Office of Justice Samuel Alito of the United States Supreme Court. The all late ballots in the state of Pennsylvania are to be set aside. They're not stopping the counting of it, as far as I've been told, but they are separating the count in all ballots that have been and continue to be counted from that pile must be separated as well. The Supreme Court will be viewing this case in the coming days. So why did someone ask, okay, why did Samuel Alito give this order? He's a George Bush appointee, George W. Bush appointee. Well, Samuel Alito handles all cases from the region that Pennsylvania is in. So let's take a look at other results. The last time I was talking to everyone here, Biden's lead in Arizona had dropped to 46,000, I think. Maybe it might have been 47,000, but I mentioned it yesterday. Or I guess 2 days ago now. As of right now, Biden's lead in Arizona has dropped to below 30,000. And there still remains well over 200,000 votes to be counted. And it all depends on what percentage of the vote both Biden and Trump get. It's been quickly determined that Biden's not going to get a majority. It's simply how much of a majority that Trump will get. If Trump gets 56.5% of the remaining vote, Trump will win Arizona. If he gets a little less than that, it's going to be very close. If Trump gets between 54% to 57%, it's going to be within recount. It's going to be very, very close. It's going to be recount territory, flippability. That's what it's going to be. And 4% of the vote still remains out of Maricopa County, and there's still a lot of votes left in Maricopa County. What does 4% mean? Well, 4% means over 100,000. And the remaining vote, there's 5% left in Pima County, a county that voted 60-40 to Biden, but obviously, election day totals that have been reported so far have been not 60-40. It's been closer to 50-50. And Santa Cruz County has 7% left, a county that went 65-35 in favor of Biden. It has Cochise County, a county with over 50,000 voters, a county that chose Trump, roughly 60-40, 11% left. Then you have Apache County, a county that still has 28% of the vote left. It votes around two-thirds Democratic. Then you have Navajo County that's much more populated that will probably cancel out Navajo County. Or Navajo County will most likely cancel out Apache County. That's what I'm looking at. The third largest Democratic voting county, Cocochino County, has already reported in all their results. It helped Biden roughly 500, gain additional roughly 500 votes to his lead, so not much. Mojave County, one of the more populated counties in Arizona, still has 2% left. Trump will most likely gain another 1,000 to 2,000 vote lead there from that county. La Paz County still has 5% left, and Yuma County still has 5% left. Alongside of Pinal County, a much more populated county that went around 57% Trump and 42% Biden. So that's going to make a difference as well. So keep in mind, it's still very much on the table for both sides, but I'm going to explain now why I am firmly believing that Trump will win. It's not out of personal belief. It's not a personal emotion. I am an unaffiliated voter. I am not affiliated with either political party. I am not a registered Democrat. I am not a registered Republican. I'm going to explain why, because there's over half a dozen historical indicators that explain why I believe what I believe. So my reasoning is that there are more, I have recently published an article. It was roughly published a week ago to the Libertarian Republic. My prediction of who was going to win and why. I put the four largest historical indicators, the S&P 500 indicator, You can go read the article. I highly recommend reading it. It's much more in detail on thelibertarianrepublic.com. It's edited by Austin Peterson of KWOS. St. Louis, Missouri. I highly recommend reading. They have a bunch of good articles on that site. I'm going to mention that. I have to mention this, all right? There are the four largest indicators of what you can look at before the election, and there's two indicators from after the election. So, what are the indicators? The S&P 500. Whoever, you track the date 3 months prior to the election day, and record what the S&P 500 index is at. You check 3 months later if the index is up, the incumbent party has maintained the White House in every single election year since 1984. And back to 1924, it goes up to, like, I think it's like 87% of the time, the incumbent party maintains the White House. So the next number we look at here is the 13 keys. Trump meets 8 of the 13 keys, which means he should win. We have the Helmut-Norpeth primary model. The Helmut-Norpeth primary model said that Trump had a 91% chance of winning re-election. In 2016, they said he had an 87% chance and he won. So this indicator says he should win. The enthusiasm percentage. Every single candidate who has had a higher percentage of enthusiastic voters has won the election in every single election since 1984. Trump beat Biden by double digits every time, in every poll. So the question now becomes, okay, Nate, what are the other two indicators you want to tell us about? The two largest indicators I want to mention here are Valencia County and Vigo County. You might say, Valencia and Vigo County, what's that supposed to mean? You're just mentioning two counties in the United States and two drastically different states. Well, that is true. And I also have more counties I'm going to mention, but Valencia and Vigo County fit the description well enough. What these two counties are considered are bellwether counties. You might ask, okay, what's a bellwether county? A bellwether county is a county that predicts who will win the presidential election at large. In 2016, Donald Trump won Valencia County by little more than 2,000 votes. In 2012, Barack Obama won it. In 2008, Barack Obama won it. In 2004 and 2000, Bush won them. So you might ask, okay, how long has Valencia County, New Mexico, predicted the presidential election? They've predicted it back to 1952. Every single presidential candidate who has won the election since 1952 has won Valencia County. Trump is currently winning Valencia County by over 3,000 votes, and the voting has stopped. This is a county with under 35,000 votes. So it's not like this county has over 100,000 votes and it could be flipped. It could be flipped in a recount. No. Trump won it by double digits or double digit percentage essentially. And Vigo County, which has predicted every single presidential election since 1956, well, you might ask, okay, so how is Trump doing there? Trump won it as well. All right, Vigo County is in Indiana. All right. So my point here is there's a lot of irregularities. All right. There are so many irregularities that make this election simply unfeasible to the common political analyst that they're looking at this election with a lot more suspicion than they think. The third most common bellwether county is also Westmoreland County, Virginia. It has had two misses since 1928, in 1948 and in 1960, and it has correctly predicted it since 1964. All right? And you can keep on going on, all right? Virtually every single bellwether county, in fact, I actually can't find one. I can't find a bellwether county that Trump didn't win. So either essentially over 50 years of history is wrong, or there's some fraud involved that's going to go up to the Supreme Court. I consider the latter much more likely. I'm going to be honest here. I think the Democrats are personally going to have a sign of relief after Trump serves another 4 years in the White House. Why is that, you might ask? Because Trump has said that if he loses, he's going to run again in 2024. This would be historic in a modern sense, because no incumbent president who lost has ever run again. Carter didn't run in 1984. So, and George H.W. Bush didn't run in 1996. So you might ask, okay, what's realistically going to happen? If Trump were to run again in 2024, I assure you, Trump will campaign for the next 4 years. Trump will be on national television for the next 4 years. And let's be honest, I look at numbers all the time. At every single rally Trump has held, every single normal Trump rally Donald Trump has held, over 20,000 people show up. On average, 25% of the people that show up didn't vote in the prior election. And usually roughly half of the people there aren't Republicans. They're either independents or Democrats who are interested in voting for Donald Trump. This is why I think the Democrats will personally have a personal sign of relief, because after 2024, the Democratic Party will be in a better position than the Republican Party, unless the Republican Party nominates Mike Pence very easily, for the simple reason that Donald Trump will not be able to have his massive rallies as he did in 2020 and 2016. Because if Trump were to be able to campaign for the next 4 years, and Biden actually has to do his job at being president, it would be extremely difficult for Biden to be able to overcome that in states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, even Minnesota, which I predicted that Biden was going to win. I do believe there's some fraud involved, but I do believe in the end Biden will come ahead in Minnesota. What I'm just letting people know is history is not easily broken. This is my reasoning. This is why I still favor Trump to the end. Why I'm still going to favor Trump until the end, because I think in the end, Trump will pull off a victory. History is much more important than some people are going to give it credit for in the media. They're going to tell Trump to concede. He's not going to concede. And I think everyone should just breathe a calm breath, wait for the Supreme Court rulings, and except for the next 4 years. But what I do know is that the Senate may flip hands in 2022. We'll have to see, though, because it's reported that former Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval, who is a Republican, is tempted to run for the 2022 Senate race in Nevada. He is considering running there. And when he ran for re-election for governor of Nevada in 2014, he won with over 70% of the vote in a swing state. So he is very popular. He's a moderate, which obviously that's key to winning in a swing state like Nevada, which is still being counted. I'm going to quickly discuss the results in Georgia right now. Yes, Biden has a small lead in Georgia. However, the remaining votes now come from one Republican county and are military ballots. So will it be close? Yes. Is it possible Biden can win it by a few hundred votes? Possible? Yes, but I'm still going to favor Trump because of the math, but also because of historical precedent. So I'm going to be ending this podcast here tonight. I hope all of you are staying calm throughout this election season, and good night.